The biggest thing and my proudest accomplishment, because I'm, this rips me apart every time I do it. If I'm not in the right headspace to do a call, I'll just reschedule it, because it's not fair to that person for you to not show up as the best version of yourself.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. I'm so excited to have Austin Linney on the show. Austin, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So everybody, Austin is a former service industry veteran of 20 plus years, turned serial entrepreneur, real estate investor, mindset, and business coach. He is the host of the weekly podcast, Construct Your Life with Austin Linney. When he's not building businesses, growing his expansive network of who's who in the leading industries, providing massive value each week with his podcast, or helping his coaching clients achieve a breakthrough, he can be found training for and competing in Ironman triathlons across the country. Amazing, Austin. Thanks so much for being here. Why don't you take us back in time and tell us a little bit about what drew you into the real estate space, how you got here?
Yeah, you know, I grew up, my dad was a dentist in Houston, Texas, and school was not really my bag, even though I had a great memory. I didn't love it that much. I played sports. And, you know, you're trying to live up to your father. You're thinking, well, I'm not going to go to medical school. I don't know what I'm going to do. And when I was 17 years old, I was at a friend's house, and his dad owned a couple businesses. And he's like, look, I've seen you around for a couple months. And he's like, you're a different cat. Like, he's like, read this book and then report back to me. And so that book was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And it was like one of those things where I read it in a weekend and I was like, oh my God, like this is, I could do this. Like, and so I always had the thought of real estate in my mind, but I was my own self-sabotage for a long time. My parents got divorced when I was 17. And I blamed myself for the divorce. And then when I worked in the restaurant business, you know, I got introduced to alcohol and drugs and proceeded to have a cocaine addiction that followed by a meth addiction. And, you know, briefly decided to make many bad mistakes and then was briefly homeless. My parents kicked me out and cut me off. And I had to, not figuratively, like seriously, I lived in a closet underneath some stairs at a friend's house for like 3 months and worked. I laid brick and tile in the July Texas heat. So that was a real, I went from a country club house, 6 bedrooms to 100 square feet or like 50 square feet. So it was a real life shift personally. You know, when you're in that closet and you're taking inventory of your life, you're saying to yourself, like, how did we get here? Wound up working hard, getting out of there, getting a car back, going back into the restaurant business, quitting the hard drugs, and then proceeded to be a functioning alcoholic for the better part of 20 years, thinking that there was nothing wrong. And then I joined a mastermind of successful entrepreneurs. And there was a lot of guys that were in recovery or didn't drink. And I was like, oh my God, like this is possible. And so I wound up starting a business with two of those guys that were in recovery. And they gave me the space necessary to quit. It wasn't easy, but I've been sober for 2 years and 5 months. I've lost 70 pounds and I help people. We have a charity that we run for entrepreneurs with one of my mentors, where we teach people how to thrive, not just survive. And we give them real estate, financial education to better their life. And it's like my huge passion is to give back to the community and impact others. And that's how we wound up where we are right now.
Wow. There is just so much there, Austin. Let me just ask, when did you start doing triathlon?
I hated running. So I was like, let me do something that I can't stand. And so I was like, in this game, when I started getting sober, I'm like, let's push the mind farther and farther. And so I signed up for, I always cycled, but I signed up for a half Ironman. And then I signed up for another one. And then I got talked into another one. And that was last year. And COVID happened. So they wound up canceling all the races. So what I did is I went out and ran one by myself. Like, I couldn't swim because nothing was open, but I ran that by myself, which was something that I wanted to do for myself. And then has since, the Ironmans have still not really opened up. There's like a couple have raced, but they're still kind of holding back. So it's not really anything I can get into personally, but just signing up and doing one by myself, even if it was a half, was kind of an eye-opening experience for me to really push myself harder. And when you're in the midst of those new changes, you're really testing the boundaries of your body, your mind, on how far you can push it, because you're in a new space where you feel great and you're removed from the toxicity of all those things. And you're like, man, well, if I feel this great, like, how far can I push it? And I think that's what I was doing with that stuff.
Awesome. I know this is a pretty big part of your journey, the journey of being a functioning alcoholic for 20 plus years. Why did you eventually want to sort of transition out of that? Like, when, what inspired you? I know you said you joined a mastermind. Talk a little bit more about that process.
So somebody, by the way, you just reminded me of a text I didn't respond to a week ago that I need to answer that question, because they asked me this exact same question, but I was busy. I ran into a guy on Instagram who is a big flipper, big commercial guy, who I'm listening to him speak. And I'm like, I like this guy. Like, I like this guy a lot. And so, like, he agrees to meet me like for 15 minutes. I fly across the country to go meet this guy for 15 minutes. Like, we had this amazing time. It wound up turning into a 2.5 hour meeting. Like, he's one of my best friends now. But like, I was sitting there one night, and like, while I was getting sober, I was listening to Gary Vee at like 3 a.m., like rebuilding this broken mind inside. And he flashed this thing on Instagram, and he was like, for one time only, like $750 for 2 coaching sessions. And I was like, I just paid it. I'm like, yes. Like, I didn't have the money, put it on a credit card. Like, I'm like, yes. And he said something at the second call, at the very end, like 1 minute left, he said something to me. He said, if you were to be in a room full of billionaires 20 years from now, and you deserve to be there, what's the one thing holding you back? And without even thinking, for whatever reason, I said alcohol. That's what planted the seed into my mind that it was holding me back from who I needed to be.
That's very powerful. Mm-hmm. And how did you actually have success in ending that period?
The same thing I tell my clients. I tried to get sober for like 30 days, like 26 days I made it, and then I had a drink and I was upset with myself. And then I went and I was like, let me go 60 days. Let me try it. And then I went like 60, and then 60 turned into, you know, 6 months and so on. And what I try to tell my clients, the same way I tell them, is like, chase the feeling. Like, the feeling is you feel great, right? I'm sober, I'm working out. So why would you do anything? Like, that drink is not going to solve the problem. It's only going to inhibit or hold you back. And so I just kept chasing this great feeling, and I just haven't let it go for 2.5 years, and I don't plan to ever again. So
yeah, that's so awesome. What other things do you find your clients need to hear? I know everyone's different, but what are some common threads that you know?
You know what? You know what's interesting? They're not different. That's the scary thing. No, I'm dead serious. I coach people in Toronto. I coach people in Quebec. And I coach people in health insurance. I coach people, real estate agents. I coach women, all of them, from all different sectors, all different ages, all different financial things. And there's one common theme that runs through all of them. They don't love themselves enough. They're hard on themselves, and they don't love themselves. And when you don't love yourself completely, or you don't believe in yourself completely, even if you don't really believe it, you can just hang on to the belief, then it radiates inside, and that energy goes off to other people. And if you're trying to sell something, or you're trying to do something, or you're trying to create a vision, people see that you're not bought in. Like, everybody tells me they're bought in. I don't think they're bought in. You're not bought into what you're doing. You've got 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Oh, I work out all the time. Do you really? Like, one of the greatest things I ever heard was Ed Milet was talking to a group of 40 millionaires. And he said, yeah, y'all are doing great compared to who? Not compared to me. And so that's Like, there's always another level. And the question is, if you tell me that you're doing everything that you should be doing, let me look at your schedule, because there's always another gear, and comfort is where people like to sit and they don't want to be pressed because we've got to know everything. We've got to do everything. I can't do this thing because I don't know it. Yeah, but if you live in a growth mindset instead of a fixed mindset, everything can be taught. And so if everything can be taught, don't lie, but just get better every day. And if you know, we live by the creed, if you get 1% better every day, then you're doing what you need to do.
Absolutely. And just to touch on something that you mentioned, two things. So how does not loving yourself as much as, you know, maybe is needed relate to not playing full out?
So because they're not bought into who they are or where they're headed as a person, they're waiting for the other shoe to drop, right? Instead of just saying, you know, for reckless abandonness, I'm going to believe that I'm good enough for everything I step foot into, or I'm going to learn everything that's possible. Because really what this world's about is energy. If you have enough belief and energy in something, it's bound to turn your way. And if it doesn't, then it wasn't meant to be in the first place. But I have this theory that we live our lives on absolutes. Like, this is the only job I'm supposed to get. This is the only human I'm supposed to be with. This is exactly where I'm supposed to live. This is the only job I'm supposed to have. Was it? Is it? No, it's not. Because at the end of the day, if you said yes to that thing, then you wouldn't be available for that thing. Right. And it's like, I think too many times in life, if I'm being honest, I think we have what we want and we didn't realize that 6 months ago, we're living the life that we dreamed we would have. And it's right in front of us, but we're too in our own way to see it.
Yeah, for sure. So what do you tell people, or what has worked in terms of helping people kind of get more bought into the vision of themselves and where they're headed?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-cap.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Something that I live by and something that I hope clients buy into is winning the day, right? This isn't wrapped around goals. This is wrapped around like creating things in your day. Five things. It could be one thing at first, but these small habits, these things that you can mark off, that if you got those done, then you could say, you know what? It was a great day, right? Because especially as type A personalities, there's always more to do. There's always more to do. It's never going to go away. But what's the one thing? What's the domino that I can do today, right? I try to tell people networking is like filling out a baseball team. Right? Like, I need my pitcher. Like, you know this. I need the home run hitter. I need the operator. I need all these things. But what if you set a goal every week of I'm going to meet two new people? These are what I need in this sector. And then once you hit that, you're done for the week. Like, if you don't set metrics on what you're doing, the tasks are never going to be done. You never feel completed. Like, one of my friends has a win column on his whiteboard because he's so busy running three businesses that he gets to Friday and he goes, I didn't do anything this week. Like, he doesn't feel like he did anything, but then he looks up on his win column and he's like, oh dude, I had a great week. Like, I don't think we remind ourselves enough because the tasks are never going to go away.
Yeah. Very awesome. I love all of that stuff. So I know we could keep going down that path and maybe we'll circle back to it. But for right now, Austin, tell us what it is you're working on. I know you've got a project you're working on. I want to hear more about that and how it relates to our conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you get to a point, right? And like, I'm not sitting here saying that like I built a ton of successful businesses. Like, it's been a learning process. But I think when you get older, that you realize that you just want to do great things with great people. Like, you just want to be surrounded by good projects. You want to not do anything that doesn't fit your wheelhouse. And you want to take the complementary parts and make it a team effort. And so we've been lucky enough to brand new, started in disruptor in the construction space, where we're delivering offsite new construction for 30 to 45 days, depending on the size of the house. And we're just trying to create a space where we can deliver a project or a product faster with less work, and then fill the demand that's needed in the housing market. This is going to be in small multifamilies and everything. But the great thing is that I'm partnered up with civil engineers who know a lot more than I do about this. I'm just the mouth and I just sell it and use my relationships. But I just wrote a post about this today. It's taken me a long time to not need the credit for everything. Like, I think in your 20s, you want the credit for everything. And it was a post I read that said that your need for credit will be a direct correlation to how much money you make. Like, I think that team is where it's at. Now, granted, partnerships and teams are not easy, but I think that if you lie into your skills that you're good at, I think you won't be so uncomfortable doing something that you're not comfortable doing.
For sure. So how did you go about building this team? So it's basically, this is a construction company. You're doing single family. And did you say small multifamily in the Austin area? Is that right?
It doesn't matter, anywhere. We're the distributors. So yeah, I mean, how it happened was this guy DM'd me, and he's in Ireland and he has a podcast. I went on his podcast. Then he asked me, hey, this guy's looking for his first guest on his podcast. You would be an easy one on his first because you're so easy to talk to. So then I come on his podcast. Then he comes on my podcast and I said, oh, I've always dreamed about doing new construction. He says, well, this is what we're doing. And I said, I'm in. And I literally got in the car 3 days later and drove to Kansas City and was sitting in a boardroom talking to them. And that's how it happened. So it's just levels of relationships.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And so you said you're selling it. So what is your role in the company?
I'm sales and marketing of the company. And yeah, sales and the media aspect of it. Yeah.
Okay. So you're doing outreach to
investors, developers, funds, building companies, stuff like that, and just letting them know what we're doing. And it's a game, you know, that business sector has lived in 1960 for about the last 50 years. It's the most archaic business structure. Now, these new things are being introduced, and it's really cool to see that we could, you know, get rid of some of the waste. We could, you know, help some of the labor problems. We, you know, all these things that we could do. So there's a bigger meaning to this. But the reason that we started the company was we believed that the middle America starter home is being priced out of America, and we're not okay with that. And so the long scale form of this would be to keep houses below 275 in these second and third tier markets and give these people, you know, houses they can afford and create this basically like a ceiling. So you have to make below this to be able to buy into this neighborhood, not just letting investors go in and bid up the prices.
Awesome. That is a super cool vision. You know, I mean, we have such a need for affordable housing and a shortage of housing stock. And so that's a very admirable effort that you guys are undertaking right now. So how do you manage doing construction company? I mean, you've got a lot of things on your plate. You're a mindset coach. You do Airbnbs. How do you stay on top of all of those businesses?
So there's a great guy who is in the syndication business and in the podcast space called Austin Adams. So AAA Adams. And he looked at my schedule back in April of last year and he was like, no, this doesn't work. Dude, you're all over the place. You got a podcast on Friday, you got a podcast on Tuesday. Like, how are you going to be able to travel? This schedule is just bananas. So what I did is I do all my coaching on Monday. All of it's on Monday. It's my coaching day straight through. Podcasts are normally Wednesday. I front load my week. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday are very long for me. Like some days go from 6 to 8 o'clock at night. But Thursday and Friday are my wild card days. I never book anything on Friday unless I have a meeting about a book we're doing or a podcast or I'm going to golf with an investor. And it allows me to stay locked in. And then also maybe I only work on the construction business on like Tuesday or like when it comes up. But I'm very particular about where I'm putting things in my calendar, because when you're moving your mind off of these things, you can't stay locked in. So I have a friend who does off-market big apartment deals, like 100 million, 180 million and up. And what he taught me is when he's looking for a client, he only looks for that client. He doesn't look for another client. So that allows him to stay focused on exactly what he's looking for. And he just keeps all the distractions out. So some of those tips has helped me just stay focused.
Awesome. Yeah, I think getting in control of your schedule, I mean, it seems like that's something that you focus on with your coaching clients. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you talked about some ways that you have modified your schedule, like front loading it, but still having some kind of free days, Thursday, Friday, and then stacking all your coaching clients together, stacking all your podcasts together. What kind of sort of suggestions do you end up offering to your coaching clients?
I think that one of the things I learned is that how many dirty yeses do you have on your schedule? How many yeses do you have that you shouldn't be doing because you feel bad or you're engaged in this opportunity and it's not really moving you forward? Like, I guarantee I could go through your calendar. But most important thing people need to understand, and I'm just as guilty as everybody else, I really don't like to make people wait. Like, if we have something to talk about, like, let's talk about it. But the biggest thing and my proudest accomplishment, because this rips me apart every time I do it, if I'm not in the right headspace to do a call, I'll just reschedule it. Because it's not fair to that person for you to not show up as the best version of yourself. Like, I'd rather that energy that we're exchanging, that conversation, I'd rather me show up. And so you have to give yourself some grace. Like, if you just got punched in the mouth, which happens in entrepreneurship on a regular basis, like, just move the call. Like, just explain to them, be honest, and just move the call. And I found that that has helped me out immensely. And also, this is a rarity for me. I try not to book anything after 4:30 because my brain just starts going to, I don't know where it goes. I'm very locked in the morning. So yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So for you personally, that I think that's super helpful. This idea of dirty yeses. I mean, how do you even begin to get some of those things off of your calendar? If you're like, you're on a team, you're working on something, but maybe it's not exactly where you want to be putting your time, but it's still somewhat aligned with, you know, your vision. I mean, how do you end up cleaning up your calendar?
I'm going to ask you a question. You ask yourself this simple question. Does this action or this meeting get me to the version of myself that I want to be 5 years from now? Do my values align with this call, right? Is this actually moving the needle forward in my business? There is too much wasted conversation going on and long meetings and everything. And if you're in a business, there's certain things that you have to do is show up as an employee and something. I get that. But as an entrepreneur, the most important asset is this mind up here. And if it's filled with too much BS or your bandwidth is overtaken, you can't do it. You know what's interesting? Because I'm a weird coach. I'm just letting everybody know, like, you're not going to get any normal stuff with me. You know what I make my coaching clients do if they're stuck or like they can't really do it? Two things. I make them stop working like right away and like just disappear for the weekend, or I make them read a book about art. And they're like, well, why would you make me do that? Because it has nothing to do with what you're doing. Your mind is stuck in this loop, and we have to inject something different in your life to open up your mind into different aspects. And it's that injection of something different that creates that space for you to think of it in a different way. I call it the spoke in the wheel. Like, you know, the wheel's just turning, and until you stick the stick in it, you're just going to be in a loop. You know, we are basically iPhones. We've got 900 apps open. None of them are closed. We're half into 70 things, and we haven't closed anything out. And the bandwidth is just off the charts. I could tell. You're like, yes, I got all those things. Yes.
Yeah, I definitely can relate to that. Yeah. Well, that is definitely very interesting stuff to think about. Well, Austin, I am so glad to have you on the show. I know we could keep going for quite a long time, but let's save the rest for another podcast episode. Why don't you give the listeners a way to get a hold of you and anything else you'd like to share with the audience?
Sure. Easiest way, check out all the podcasts, everything I got going on at austinlinney.com. But the best way to get a hold of me is Instagram, Austin Linney. Shoot me a DM, send me a message. Happy to see how I can help, how to support you on your journey. Just looking to lift everybody up and empower everybody.
Yeah, I love what you're doing, Austin. Super powerful stuff. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Can't wait to have you on again sometime.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, luxe-cap.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.